Good morning. So the title for today's talk is Be Cool, or Be Uncool, sorry, not Be Cool, Be Uncool. That's what it says, isn't it? Be Uncool. I've had this on my heart to speak for quite some time, and I was slightly, not worried or shocked, but interested that there were messages in the church recently that were kind of felt to me like the same message. So particularly things that have been shared recently by Sir Bailey, Selva and Helen are really all in this same area, I think. So if you think you're hearing the same message again and again, well, I'm sorry, maybe that's God. The key verse for this message is Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I'm reading this from the English Standard Version. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So do not be conformed to this world. Or in one of the translations of the Bible called the J.B. Phillips New Testament, he translates the relevant part of this way. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. So that's a picture of some jelly babies, and it's jelly baby time. Now, we haven't rehearsed this, but Mary, I'd like you to help me with this. I have a pot of jelly babies. I have one back. I'd like you to, subject to your own issues to do with diet and personal hygiene and social distancing, it's entirely up to you. Mary, I'd like you to offer jelly babies around the whole room, giving priority to the youngest first. There are quite a few here. It's a bit like Anglican Communion, that the ones to the left, Mary will have to eat. So, the other rule about this is if you take one, don't just shove it straight in your gob. Take a moment to consider the jelly baby, and particularly consider the fact that it has come from a mold. See, there's a reason for this little exercise. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. You're eating something that has been in a mold. So consider the mold and the shape of the jelly baby, and then decide which bit. I eat the head first. I like to bite the heads off the babies when I eat them. But everyone has their own way. So please, Mary, start that. So while Mary's sending the jelly babies around, Paul was writing this letter to the Christians in Rome. And Rome at the time was basically the center of all power in the known civilized world. So he was writing to a church right in the middle of the power that basically controlled everything. And at the time, that power was very anti-Jesus, very anti-Jesus. Rome at the time, thinking about what it was like to be a Christian in Rome at the time, it's a bit like being in a place that's the equivalent today of Washington, D.C., and Moscow, and Beijing, all rolled into one. You know, we see in the world around us at the moment a kind of struggle between different superpowers, or powers trying to pretend that they're superpowers, or powers that were superpowers, very fed up with the fact that they're no longer superpowers. But in this time, there was only one superpower. There weren't two superpowers fighting against each other. There was Rome, and there was nothing else. Rome controlled everything. So this is a very powerful statement when Paul, writing to the Christians in the middle of that power, saying, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. I must eat my jelly baby while I'm sharing. Head first, here we go. I'm considering the mold, the shape of the jelly baby. I'm considering its color. The head has come off. Now the rest. Yummy. Sweet. So, this message is relevant to us today, I believe, just as it was back then. The God is telling us through the New Testament, through the book of Romans, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. The world, I don't know if you feel this, but the world is trying to squeeze you into its mold. And I'm not trying to say that there is a group of people who are like the World Committee, who have a secret plan to squeeze you into their mold. Some of you might believe there is such a committee. Some people on Facebook, it's clear, do believe such things. Maybe there is a committee, maybe there isn't. But I think the world is a bit more complicated than that. I believe there is a real devil who is behind the scenes trying to pull people's strings and manipulate things. He is evil. He has plans. He has schemes and strategies. But the world as a whole, I don't believe it's one very clever, very deliberate plan that the world has to squeeze you into its mold. It's just the way things are, and the devil manipulates that as well. But there is a pressure. There is a pressure that comes. So I'm not trying to say that everything in the world is evil, that every scheme of anybody in the world is a terribly evil, deliberate plan. But here's the thing. I've been very struck by this recently, thinking about the people of Israel. And in the book of Judges, it says something. So the people of Israel, in the time of the book of the Judges, they didn't have a king, and they were basically disobedient. They kept doing bad things. Even though they had all the promises from God, they kept worshipping false gods, and they did lots of things that they weren't supposed to do. And in Judges 17, verse 6, it says this. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And it's just my kind of opinion, but I think that's basically a very true statement about the culture we live in, about the world we live in. It's not necessarily that lots of people are being deliberately evil and horrible and manipulative all of the time. Some people are a bit like that. Some people are a lot like that. But it's not that there's a big plan to control you. It's that everyone's just doing what is right in their own eyes. People genuinely believe that what they want, how they want the world to be, is just everybody doing what's right in their eyes. They're pleasing themselves. They're living according to their own conscience most of the time. And the grand result of that is there's a world system that's trying to push you into a mold. And it's anti-God. So this message is about being uncool and not being in the mold like all the other jelly babies, but being the person that God called you to be. Does that make sense? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a look at some things that Jesus said to highlight some areas where if we're following Jesus, he might be calling us to live a certain way that is very opposite to what the world wants us to do. Now, I don't want to impose my personal opinions on you today. It's potentially a slightly controversial area I'm speaking about. But this is not about my personal opinions. And equally, it's really not about your personal opinions. I have opinions, loads of them, and so do you. Some of them might be interesting, some of them might not. But this is about what God wants. Amen? So what I want to focus on is not what I think about something or what you think about something. I want to focus on what God thinks about something, because he is the king. So what I don't want to do today is to try to give this message in a way that makes you think that I am approving of being judgmental about other people. I'm going to touch on some things that kind of highlight some things that really are sin, that are wrong. Some of those you might feel that they affect you personally. They may affect you personally because of people in your network of family and friends or what you see in the world. But I am not trying to lay these things out in a way where I'm pointing the finger at other people and saying, look at all of these people. Aren't they bad? Aren't they doing sinful things? As someone once said, when you point a finger, one finger at somebody, the thing is they're at least, well, I've got slightly wonky hands, but at least three fingers pointing back at you. This is not about us saying that, oh, so-and-so, this other person is a sinner, they're doing a terrible thing. It's about what standard does Jesus set for me? What does he set for me? I can have a very clear conviction because of God's ways about certain things in the world that are wrong. I can have compassion for the people who do those things. I can have compassion for the people that believe those things. But what I'm not supposed to do is to think that compassion for other people and being non-judgmental towards other people actually means I have to start thinking and believing exactly the way that they think. You know, to actually get to the point where I say, not only am I not judging this other person, I'm actually going to pretend or end up believing exactly what the other person believes so that I'm not judging them. That is not God's way. That is the world's idea of being cool of being in the right mold, but we need to be uncool. Jesus says, be uncool. Jesus tells us not to judge. That's in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 6. So Jesus says, don't judge, but he still sets a standard for life. He's telling me, Brian, don't judge, but he's still giving me standards for how I'm supposed to live. So I mustn't focus so much on what other people are doing. The focus I need to have is on me. Amen? Now, quite a lot of people, quite a lot of people talk about, they who don't identify as Christians, will say, oh, I'm not a Christian, but I do know that Jesus is a great teacher. You know, he's a great moral teacher. Up on the slide here, we have a picture of C.S. Lewis. Some of you might not know who that guy was. He was a very famous writer and thinker in the middle of the last century. He was good friends with Tolkien, who wrote Lord of the Rings. Lewis was famous, amongst other things, for writing the Narnia series of books. He wrote a number of really important Christian books, or explicitly Christian books on theology, including one called Mere Christianity, that I'm going to quote from in a moment. And C.S. Lewis, in Mere Christianity, he addressed this thing about people who say, oh, Jesus is a great moral teacher, or even, Jesus is just a great moral teacher. He said this. This is a quote from Mere Christianity. I am trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about Jesus. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. This is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. That's quite powerful, isn't it? So Jesus didn't come to judge, and yet Jesus is very provocative. By virtue of who he is and what he says, he brings us to a place where we have to make a choice about him. And I spent a long time, a lot of time recently thinking about John chapter 3. Don't worry, Mary. I should be over already. It's 12:30. I spent a lot of time recently thinking about the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus in John chapter 3. So Nicodemus was one of the Pharisees. He was clearly impressed with Jesus. He wanted to know more. He was a bit of a scaredy cat. So Jesus came to him in the middle of the night, and they had a secret nighttime meeting. And I love John 3. In the middle of John chapter 3, John 3:16, there's the verse that apparently is like the most well-known verse in the Bible, the one that probably most people can say by heart. And it's this: for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then verse 17, and this is Jesus talking. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So those are great words from Jesus. God the Father sent God the Son into the world not to condemn, but to save. But surprise, surprise, John chapter 3 doesn't end at verse 17. Straight after that, Jesus carries on and he says this, again I'm quoting, this is starting at verse 18, this is Jesus talking. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. So this is, in a sense, the most important thing I want to try and get across today. Jesus said to Nicodemus, I haven't been sent to condemn anybody. I've come to save. Then this is my paraphrase. But then Jesus says, but there's a funny thing about the fact that I've been sent. Because I haven't come to condemn anybody, but by very virtue of the fact that I am here, I am creating a crisis for you. Because you have to choose. And there aren't shades of grey, it's light or dark. It's good or evil. It's God or not God. And you're seeing me face to face and you have no room to, you have no excuse. There's no wiggle room. There's no compromise that you can do. There's no deal that we can negotiate. It's light or dark. Can you get that? That's Jesus talking. It's light or dark. So I'm going to look at a few verse things that Jesus said. I'm not going to say a huge amount about them because time is short. And there's a lot I could say about a lot of them, believe me. And if you want to have a discussion with me about them, then catch me if you can, and maybe we can have a discussion. But I'm going to run through various things that the cool world would say to us. And then I'm going to compare those with the very uncool things that Jesus says. Okay? So we're going to have to be on our best game, Pokong. Let's start with the first one. First cool statement. It doesn't matter what you believe. There are many paths to God, whoever God is. Yeah? That's cool. What's uncool? Let's see what's uncool. What's uncool is John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's uncool. Next cool thing. We all try to be as good as we can. We will all be okay. That's cool. What's uncool? This is uncool. Matthew chapter 13, starting at verse 41. This is Jesus talking again. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. Way uncool. What's the next cool thing? If it feels good, do it. That sounds cool. Is that cool? What's uncool? Let's see what's uncool. Matthew chapter 18, starting at verse 7. Again, Jesus talking. Woe to the world for temptations to sin, for it is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the one by whom temptation comes. And if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire. Way uncool. What's the next cool thing? If you're in love and you're not hurting anyone, do what you like. That sounds very cool. What's uncool? Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. Again, Jesus talking. Again, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Way uncool. Yeah. What's the next cool thing to say? Set yourself free from the idea of the sex you were born with. That's way cool, isn't it? Yeah, why be limited by that? That's so cool. What's uncool? What did Jesus say? Or something that Jesus said? Matthew chapter 19, starting at verse 3. And the Pharisees came up to him and tested him by asking, is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? And he answered, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? And said, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. Way uncool, Jesus. What's the next cool thing? What really matters is that you please yourself. Look after number one. Way cool. Yeah? Way cool. Do you agree, Siobhan? Way cool. What's uncool? Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? Mary mentioned that earlier. I'm bringing the plane into land now. So there's a lot of stuff I could say about those words of Jesus. But I hope you just get the sense or maybe reminded of the fact that this Jesus is a great moral teacher, but he's not just a great moral teacher. He's God. And he has views. His opinions matter way more than my opinions, and they matter way more than your opinions. It's a case of light or dark, truth or lie, good or evil. Me doing what's right in my own eyes, or actually me working out, oh, me doing what's good in my right in my own eyes maybe isn't the complete story. Maybe Jesus has a different view. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Jesus referred to himself as God's light. So move towards the light. You know, I don't know what kind of reaction you might be having to those words of Jesus already today, but it's probably healthy or genuine at some stage to be somewhat uncomfortable with some of the things that Jesus says. You know, he's God and I'm not. But sometimes, maybe even today, sometimes we can have a choice of we hear what Jesus is saying, we're attracted to Jesus, but there's something that he's pointing out about us that suddenly makes us feel very uncomfortable. And I suddenly have that choice. I can go towards Jesus, but if I go towards Jesus, what is going to happen to that thing? Or I can go away from Jesus and stay with that thing. My encouragement to you is however unworthy or sinful or bad you might feel, never ever give in to the temptation to back away. Be prepared to go to light. Jesus says that he came not to condemn, but to save. We just sometimes have to live with the fact there's a tension between we can be aware of things in our lives that aren't really squaring up with how Jesus wants us to be, but he's still calling us to come to him. Go to the light. Go to the light. In this message, I'm not trying to say that I've got everything sorted out personally, and I don't imagine that any of you have either. We are all on a journey. This is not a message about how, in order to get to Jesus, you have to have ticked all of the boxes and be living a perfect life. That would be impossible, and it's nonsense, and it ain't the gospel. Jesus is calling all of us to come to him, you know, however sinful or unworthy we feel. And all of the people that we might be tempted to judge out there, wherever there is, who, when we think about those verses, seem to be messing up in so many areas, he's again, his invitation to them is to come. And you might be one of those people in the room. His invitation to each one of us is to come. The most important thing to pick up from this message is that Jesus loves you and he's calling you to come to him. The light is calling you to come, and the light is love. Today's title is Be Uncool. This is final comment, really. But really, I don't know about you, I would prefer to be, if I could, if it was okay, I'd prefer to be cool rather than uncool. Really, you know, I just would. And Christians, well, I won't go into how Christians can very often be uncool. When I was younger, there was a thing to do with wearing sandals with socks. A lot of Christians seem to do that. That's way uncool. I don't know what the modern equivalent is, but it was so uncool. Christians, once they get to a certain age, seem to be very good at being uncool anyway. We just get older, we get uncool. But I would prefer to be cool. But even though I'm encouraging you in today's message to be uncool, don't let the world squeeze into its mold. Be uncool. There's a funny reversal that happens here. God's kingdom is sometimes referred to as an upside-down kingdom. Jesus said that if we want to be great, we need to be servants. He said if someone loves his life, that person will actually lose their life. But if you hate your life, you'll live forever. So funnily enough, if you really do pursue in a godly way being uncool, you'll end up being really cool. But the important thing is, in terms of the world's mold, be uncool. So I bless you in your journey of being uncool. Amen. Oh, you want me to pray? I thought Mary could rescue the whole thing and do this bit. Okay, just as quiet as you can be where you are, you can close your eyes if you want to. I'd just like to invite you to say, make sure you're saying hello to the Holy Spirit. And I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit. I'd like you to give permission to the Holy Spirit to show you any areas in your life where you are being cool in a bad way. Any areas where the Holy Spirit is wanting to remind you that it's time to be uncool. It's time to come back to the Jesus standard. It's time to decide again, I'm going to walk towards the light. I'm not going to run away from the light. So Holy Spirit, if there's any area where we are turning away from you because your light makes us feel uncomfortable, will you show us those things? And Holy Spirit, will you also show us once again the reality of your love? And is there anybody in the room who doesn't know that love? If you've never actually really accepted Jesus as your Savior and Lord, now would be a great time. So if that's you, I'm just going to say a brief prayer and you can say amen to it in your own head, in your own heart. Jesus, I recognize that you are Lord of Lords and King of Kings, that as you said to Nicodemus, you were sent by the Father to save the world, not to condemn it. I thank you for saving me and I give my life to you. Amen. So Holy Spirit, will you move us along? Will you move us along that journey of moving towards the light and being more and more uncool? Amen. God bless you.